Hello. What username is that? Fuck. Fuck.
Fuck.
No. Fuck. The demon. The anchor code prevents me.
The anchor from accepting app prevents me from
you
from using a headset.
Damn, it does. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to David and Dan Talk, the talk show that is really just, we don't really care about. We don't really care. What?
All right, you just blacked out there.
No, I haven't at all.
Yo, actually, can we start? Can we do this again? Just because.
Why?
I'm going to download the app because the speaker's not coming out of the speaker right on this one.
I was going to say, I think you're like a complete guest, you know? You're like.
Yeah, yeah. Guest. All right. Hang on. All
right.
Right?
Fucking hell, you're loud. God. My ears. Yo, biba doobie, how's it going?
Hey, I do a podcast.
She slaps bass. Slaps bass. Yeah, man.
Slap cheeks.
So I bumped into Paul Simon the other day, and said, you know, I knew him back in the day, obviously, and I saw him out and about, and he says to me, you know, so what are you up to, much? And I was like, to be honest with you, mate, you know, I've been in lockdown and I haven't really been doing much. You know, I've been lazing about and I've been playing a load of games on the PlayStation and eating a load of crap. And he goes to me, you know, he has the gall to say, still lazy after all these years.
You know, that's actually...
Yeah, go
on. That's actually a coincidence because I actually met Paul Simon just after lockdown.
Yeah.
And he actually just got a job. And because they're making loads of budget cuts.
Yeah.
Paul Simon, he's kind of got out of the music industry. And he's basically, they've given him like a load of jobs.
Right, sure.
So he, you know, I saw him in the British Museum just outside, and he's like a bus conductor / security guard / cleaner, I think.
Right.
And I was like, yo, Paul. And he's like, so he goes like, Dan, hold on, I gotta take this. And he's on the phone. He goes like, hop on the bus, Gus. Yo, make a new plan, Stan. You know, he's
Shit. So I went to Paul Simon's house the other day. He invited me around.
Okay, you're quite friendly with him.
Yeah, and he says,
where's he live?
I can't tell you. So he says to me, you know, do you want to have a smoke up? And I was like, damn, Paul, I didn't even know you were into that kind of thing. And he was like, he said to me, you know, still hazy after all these years.
Wow. Wow. I would have gone still blazing after all these years.
Yeah, well, he did also say that. He said, I was about to say that.
It's funny because he actually was, he's actually Eminem's old manager back in the day. And he said, and I said to him, like, what was your favorite era of Eminem? He goes like Slim Shady.
I thought you were gonna be like still gay after all these years.
Yeah, by the way, I'm gay.
Just like Paul but, Simon yeah, knew that Eminem was gay all this time. And when like the news came out, they were like, "Paul Simon, what do you think about that?" And he was like, "Look, I've known Eminem a long time. Still gay after all these years."
No, it's actually so like you know like being gay was seen as like a mental disorder back in the day. Like Paul Simon still thinks that, so he's like, he's still crazy.
Damn, you crazy! Damn, you crazy!
Crazy? No, he's just gay.
That's what my ex-husband crazy.
Said. That's what Garfunkel said.
That's what Garfield said. Oh my god!
How you been, bro? How you been, bro?
Yeah, I've been good. You know what they say, still crazy after all these
Mate, I'm fucking chilling. Yeah,
still
mate.
Flaky after all these years.
I'm fucking
belongings and finds like an old chocolate bar and like bites it into it. He's like, oh, still flaky after all these years.
Oh, that's an old flake.
He like, finds, like an old 99 ice cream, like sat there. Damn, still flaky after all these years. Just like Garfunkel was like, "What the fuck? Why have you got ice cream?"
And then his wife is like, "What the fuck? Who's this girlfriend of yours?"
I know, right? I met my old lover.
Have you seen Paul Simon's been in the news recently?
Oh, I don't know. He's still irrelevant after all these years. Still factually irrelevant.
Him and Willie Nelson are tackling like the pipeline shit in America. Save Texas Hill Country and stop the Permian Highway Pipeline. so they're against the pipeline, Texas.
Fair enough. Good for them, is what I say. But yeah, I've been fine. I've been good.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while on the podcast. It's been like 2 weeks since we had. Since I was in Amsterdam Airport, I think about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, not much in my life has happened since then. I mean, I've just gotten back into the old swing of things, back to the grindstone.
How is
it? Well, it's okay. It's just there's less people there, so it's like naturally there's more work to do. It's like the same amount of work, but less people to do it, so it puts the pressure on the rest of us. So, yeah, it's still good. I'd rather not talk about work for as much. You know, I bore myself when I talk about it.
You were kind of worried though that you were like gonna get into it and you haven't done it in like 5 months.
Yeah, I know. I was freaking out during COVID because it kind of like I was talking about this to my dad recently. I was saying how like it was so strange that it's been 2 years since I've done that job and it doesn't feel like that. It feels really it doesn't feel like 2 years. It feels like, you know, 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, the old cliche.
It does. And, like, I feel like I could just be, like, plodding on. I could plod on for a long time in that job, and just like not leave.
Well, have you kind of got a sense of like, you know, when people like, you know, because it's a comfortable job, it pays, you know, how people can just get
it's quite scary. In this routine. Yeah, it's quite scary because you like, I almost feel like, damn, I like close my eyes and 2 years have gone by. So it's like, I don't know, that kind of like the COVID.
The future is passing you by.
The COVID took me out and sat me down, and it was like, okay, stop, you know, look what's happened. And it was kind of like a feeling of, well, do I really want to be doing this for another 2 years? No, I don't. You know, I don't really. It's not even like I hate it. It's not even like I say, well, I hate my job, because I don't hate my job. I'll happily do it, but it's like, it's not adventurous. It's not fulfilling. I don't feel fulfilled. It makes money. I think that's the only positive.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure, man. Like, It's not a bad job.
Yeah, I don't get great joy out of it. So I'm willing to try something new. Well, yeah, because I talked about teaching.
Because I think a lot of people can relate to that comment.
Somewhere in the world, and that would be very cool to do that, to use that as a platform to explore new places, travel around, and use this job as to save up for that as well. So, I think, yeah. And I'll tell you what, the one thing I do love about a routine is that you get the opportunity to kind of like, all right, today I'll listen to this album on the way to work, you know, so I can really systematically, without it being too systematic, like listen to like albums in bulk and really like work through discographies. For example, Leonard Cohen. I've been like blasting Leonard Cohen recently. I went from recent songs.
Low shock, by the way, for people listening, is the recent song.
Your audio quality's not very good. You keep on, like, you're underwater. Like, you go in and out of quality. Oh, right.
Yeah, I think that's because I'm loading shit while I talk.
Yeah, so I've done, I did. Nice. It's okay. It's okay. I like, various positions is okay. It's all okay. Is what I'll say. It's all okay. I don't love the only thing. The only song I fucking love, like, fucking, been listening to it like over and over and over and over, is "The Smoky Life" from Recent Songs. Fuck me, man! "The Smoky Life." It's
Smoky Life.
It's that mixture between early Cohen and then him slowly coming into these kind of like 80s kind of like techie girl singing behind him kind of stuff that he does obviously like later on, but it's still got that kind of like the lyrics are really cool. It's not like overdone with like a synth bass like some of the later ones. There's no kind of like cheesy call and answer stuff. You know, when he just like a, you know, like, sends to when he is a boredom. That kind of stuff. It's none of that. And it like follows the harmonies are beautiful. It's like the last song on Recent Songs as well. So you have to really sit through the album and then get to that. The rest of them are pretty decent, but not obviously nothing on par with his first three albums. But the thing is,
even four, yeah, even like Old Skins for New Ceremony is pretty good. Album,
really.
Mm. Well, I didn't notice the recent sort of yes, looking at the yes, picture. He's got that picture of the hummingbird.
Honestly, the check out Smokey Smokey Life. It's a fucking bang. It's a fucking banger.
Yeah, I've queued
love
it.
I love it.
I've queued it. I've been really, really like I go through waves of listening back to my old favorites. I did see I've been really on
I saw that you listened at the moment. There's no place that I want to be. I love Hajduk.
No man, no man.
Hajduk.
Yeah, basically. Because I'm in fucking Austria right now. They listen to a lot more Euro trash. And I tell you what, I've literally just been asking people, like, yo, you got Spotify? What's this playlist? What's this playlist? Like, because some of them are just, like, literally, I went on, like, a little drive with somebody, and they're, like, and they were just playing, like, okay, you know, it's, like, a very peaceful morning. Like, the mist is setting over the hillsides of the countryside. It's like, and then someone puts on a song, it's like, I fear. Like, the weirdest fucking gone, German techno. That's about the famous one we got in the UK. I tell you what, though, I was at a fucking, sorry, I'm swearing. I was at a festival. I was at a wee festival. It was like a little 100, 150 person thing because obviously everything got cancelled this year. But so basically, it was really cool. There's a couple of live bands. And then later on in the night, you know, there was a DJ. And, you know, I'm really digging the vibes. You know, I'm a little drunk, a little stoned. And I go to the DJ. And I'm like, yeah, this guy, he's playing a lot of like weird alternative shit that no one's ever heard
Diamonds
of.
Diamonds on the soles of your shoes, Paul Simon. Paul Simon's in the crowd, like, yeah.
Mate, I would fucking. Nah. To be fair, I have actually heard like a decent. I think Charlie XX did a fucking version of that, and it's fucking actually really good remix. No, but so I go up to the guy and I go like, Chuldigong, which is like sorry in German. And I go, hi, sorry, what's your name, chap? Because I'm quite drunk at this point and I'm like, I guess I turned really British. Yeah, I'm like, yo, sorry, chap, what's your name? He goes like, my name's DJ Big Daddy D. And I go,
Mr. D.
I say, okay,
Yeah.
And
what do you say? Oh my god,
Have you got anything 80s like British 80s like Wham or Human League, or just something where you can fuck it? This is the closest thing I've got. And he pulls out, you know, NAS, New York State of Mind or Empire State of Mind. Like that, and I go, like, that is the closest thing he's got. And I go, yeah, fuck it, I'll take it. But like later on in the night, I tell you what he puts on. He puts on The Streets.
Yeah.
That's fit. Great. My gosh, don't you know it? And I was like, mate, I've never heard this outside of the UK, it's not even played that much anymore. And literally, I was like,
I haven't heard this song this side of 2010.
Yeah, legit. I was like, leave it out. Well, you're a couple drinks, mate.
What, you're on crack or something?
Yeah, literally, he played the whole fucking thing and like nobody else knew it. And I was like,
so I get chips and drinks.
I get this fucking lost my place in the queue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was surreal, man. Yeah, but that's cool. You want to you've decided because you were thinking about teaching English and traveling, but that was during lockdown, and I think everybody was kind of fantasizing.
Yes, I think the fantasy has kind of been not even diluted, but it's still there. It's just I'm aware that I do want to get driving, learn to drive out of the way first, and then moving on to kind of like whatever comes next. So it's good. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think it's a good idea to like, especially for this year, like, and maybe until next summer, like, yeah, that's probably a good idea just to kind of keep saving money, sort of like driving out.
I don't think so.
Nothing's happening.
It's a perfect opportunity, really. So, yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. And you found your little place in Austria. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I got a flat. Mm-hmm. Moving in on September 5th.
Have you found work there?
And no, that's the thing. I got to find a job.
What's
now?
What's the prospects?
Yeah, basically, I don't know. It's teaching English, basically. I am trying to get like a little journalism thing because there are a few like English like magazines shit here, mainly for like an international audience, but I guess it'd be like decent experience anyway. But but I guess the main income is going to be teaching English, and I guess depending on, because you can either like try and work for a school, or you could like become like a private tutor, you know, like and then in that case you want to go to like the rich areas of the city and be like, you know, I'm a English man, and like make yourself sound international and shit. But I was talking with one woman, she's been here for a year, a French woman, she's been here in Vienna for a year. And she was saying how she got this job as a private tutor for a family, and she gets a grand a month.
That's good.
From that one family, and she does 13 hours a week.
A grand for 13 hours is relatively unheard of, really. I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it?
That is bloody amazing. I said to her, you know, like, wow, you know, but she's been here for like a year, so I guess like she's had a little bit of time to set herself up, get that kind of job. But rent's not bad. It's like $390. It's in a decent part of the city. I tell you what, man, if you're gonna come up, I guess because when do you get holiday days in the new year? Well, if you want, like, you can come down for like December or something like that, and then, you know, then we can like go to, like,
the
Christmas.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I could come down for like half a week. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, also, because most of the kids our age, like 24, like, people are in university here until they're 26 usually. So everybody's like, so if you come down then, you know, there'll be a few parties going on, you know.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So, obviously I've run an open door. I run an open door policy. I told Tom about it. Cause I just said I said in that, you know, flat chat, my old uni flat chat. I don't know how interesting this is going to be to fucking people listening, but fuck it. At this point, who's listening? But I just said randomly, because people were asking like, oh, you know, what are you doing? I was like, oh, you know, I'm moving here. And Tom messaged me privately and said like, wow, man, like, I'm a little bit envious, to be honest. Because he was in Potsdam, which is like just south of Berlin, just outside Berlin, in uni. And he was doing that. He's doing a 2-year course, and obviously he got cut short because of Corona and shit. But now he's moved all his stuff out, so he only stayed in Potsdam for like 5 months or something like that. And the thing now is he did a 2-year master's, so the other half of
Dublin's
his course is in Dublin.
I do like Dublin. I've got a sweet little spot in my heart.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Yeah, it's nice. Oh, hell yeah. The thing is, it's quite
expensive. I mean, my place that I stayed was like 500 euros a month. Like, no shit.
Yeah, it's weird though, isn't it? Because, like, you know, that's like...
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's like London prices.
Although, as you heard, you know the story, I wasn't very picky. I went with the first person who fucking accepted me. You know, I was that desperate. I didn't want to stay any longer in a hostel. Yeah. Because it was horrible. Especially with the Euros going absolutely packed.
Well, I...
And... it was quite funny because it's like,
yeah, true.
Talking about moving around and experiencing new things, it's like a mental, state to be in, where you get where you wind up in random situations, isn't it? Especially watching, to reference Bald and Bankrupt a little bit here. Shout out to Bald and Bankrupt, B&B. It is a mentality. Because one person, right, could walk into a pub or an establishment of any kind and say to the waitress or whoever it is, you know what I mean? Walk up to a person and say, yes, can I have a beer, please? They go, yeah, sure. You hand them the money, you walk away with your pint. A different mentality would be, hi, how are you doing? Can I get a pint? What's good? Where's this from? You start asking, how are you? Like, where you are you local? You know, where are you from? You start asking questions. You know what I mean? So it's like a mentality that you can have. You know, you start talking to people, and it's that first move of being a bit brave and actually talking to someone and engaging in conversation and asking them interesting questions. And like, sometimes it does, like they say, like it leads down a path where like, oh yeah, common ground. And like, they might, oh yeah, you know, my place is down the road. Do you want to come here? Do you want to go to a part? Whatever. Whatever it is, the leading part of it is only established by like opening conversation and not just being like, yeah, cheers, bye. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's the whole thing.
Because I feel like the danger I feel with me saying to you or to anyone saying, oh yeah, I'd love to go and travel and do this and do that, is I fear I freak myself out and I go places and I like don't ask the questions. I like walk around and yeah, sure, I'll absorb a certain level of the city I'm in, for example, but I don't ask the questions. I don't like talk to anyone. You know what I mean? I'm like not brave enough. I get stuck in my head and I'm like not. You know what I mean? Like I don't interact on that level and you don't really explore.
Yeah, I think that whole thing of being open though, that's why personally I like the whole prospect of traveling, and my whole relationship with travel has changed since, you know, yeah. Like when I was like 19. But, you know, it's the whole thing of, like, opening yourself up to experiences. But the thing is, also when you go abroad as well, you get kind of like a travel courage, yeah. Don't you? Like, you're like, well, I'm not a local here. I'm kind of like, you know, yeah. I'm a temporary.
So, pardon me, I'm a temporary, so the consequences are kind of city. Like
it's not going to, no one's
going to lessened. Like, if I do something and I embarrass myself, then, hey, I don't know the culture, so that's an excuse. Also, like, I don't have to stay here. I can move. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. If you're just passing through, I mean, you know, it's, you know, who cares? I think, like, I mean, to be fair, your attitude should be who cares.
Yeah.
I think wherever you are, you know, especially for people like me, who don't have that attitude at home, really. I've gotten a bit better, but I was talking to my friend today, actually. She's a good friend of mine, and she was saying how her sister is starting uni next month. And she was saying she was a bit worried about her because, you know, it can either go, I think a lot of the times, you know, it's, you know, it can either go one way where, like, you get a newfound independence, you're away from home, and you use that to, like, build up these relationships and find out who you are and, like, more things about you as a person. Or it can go the other way where you don't meet the right people, and then because you're far away from that support system, it can kind of, like... I don't know. It's kind of like the metaphor. It's kind of like a plan. Either it will rise beautifully or like collapse in itself.
Those bakery metaphors. The baker's mind.
A baker's only as good as his bread, mate.
I love that. That should go down in history.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I've just been searching. I just literally just like as you're talking, idly was I looked in my drawer and I found the bottle opener. And like tin opener, which I brought to the beach at Sauna's foot, and it's like covered in fucking sand. It's disgusting. The sand and everything in it, huh?
What's this?
To the beach, yeah.
What's this? The bottle opener you brought to the beach?
We were using that, and there's like I've got Welsh sand all over my room now because I just opened the bottle opener thing, and like a load of shit fell out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good time. I was actually thinking about that. What was it? I was thinking about when we were at the beach.
Yeah, that was really chill. We should do. I think we did. We did pledge to do that again.
That was chill as fuck.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, well, mate, if you, again, like, you know, well, we don't even have to, you don't even have to come here. We can meet somewhere anywhere in Europe now, can't we?
I will have, like, a couple of months, I think, like, just freedom-wise before our job starts, I'm hoping, next year. So I'll be hopefully as free as a bird to do whatever the hell I want.
But, because I remember when I started uni, and like obviously, I think it was until I met you and like
the hand,
and
like, the you know, hand. Hey, it's like a secret group. You know,
our old uni band. And that wasn't until after Christmas, we didn't really.
Until like February or something, I swear.
No, I think we met just before Christmas. No,
I always think it's second term. I always thought it was second term.
No, because I think that's when we got to know each other, but I think I remember meeting before maybe. Then, and then we had Christmas break. Because we did that photo shoot Sin City in February.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but... yeah, I know, but and then obviously that didn't work out for me, really.
I'd love to be.
And then it wasn't until
fly on the wall for that. Just kind of like to see the third person how we all reacted and all like the kind of relationships were, because I still am in contact with all of that group apart from Natalie. But then again, I don't think I was really in contact with her at the fucking time. But,
mate, she's going to listen to this and she's going to be fucking pissed.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I actually talked to Haytham tonight about like about 7 o'clock. We had a little chat. We were talking about a little trip that we're going to have next week, next Friday, going down to Salisbury and having a little camping. Pardon?
How long is that journey? How long is that journey? 5 hours.
It's not that bad. It's like 3 hours to London, not too bad. And then like an hour to Salisbury from London, Paddington. But I have to get my ass from King's Cross to Paddington. That's the only thing. But
yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah,
King's Cross is not that far away. Just take the tube, man.
But yeah, I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see the Sin City sessions, as they're now known as. and just see how everyone like.
Well, Oh, I know. I remember when like that guy yelled at me.
No, I don't remember that. What do you mean? Was it like?
Yeah,
when? Remember. What, at the train station when we came back from Cardiff?
No, let me tell the story. So basically, we were like we went like what well, we had like 2 hours, I think, of practice, and then like, I think we went over, and I kind of just expected the people to come up or something like that by themselves, but I guess we had to let them in, and because I'm the guy who like booked the practice
Oh
rooms,
shit, yeah, and they came up and like they were really
and
pissed.
that guy came over and said like, "What the fuck?"
Like
Yeah,
Cadacus,
it was
was
that
it?
metal band, and
Cadacus,
they were
was
like,
it?
"Yo, why the fuck?" Wow, fair
I
play
don't know
to
how
remembering that name,
it
dude.
just came to me there without even thinking. Cadacus,
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay, mate.
And
RIP.
we did that. They did have a practice time together because we were using the studio.
Well, no, and he yelled at me specifically because
That's
I was
probably
the
why I
guy
don't
who put
remember it.
our name down on the
I
sheets
was
and
just like, I
shit.
don't give a fuck if he's not, if he's, mate, if he's not yelling at me, I
Yeah.
don't care. I was like, I probably like laughed at you, probably. I was probably laughing.
No, yeah, I think you guys were taking the piss afterwards, and I was like, yeah, guys, well, you
Oh
know.
yeah, well yeah, you know, musicians be cray.
And then I'm trying to think of anything else. Because I remember when Kiriana came down, who is a friend of mine, for those listening. And then she visited me in my first year when we were 18. And basically, Haytham, So I think it was just after, the practice. He said to me, "Yo, you two going out or
No,
something like that?" Or I
God,
was like,
no.
nah. And I think I remember during when we were practicing, like, I think even you as well, you gotta admit, you were all like trying to show off.
I don't really remember that, but
Mate,
anyway,
these recollections, like,
I
what
don't seem to
do
remember.
you
Yeah, David, you were like all over her, like you were really creepy. In fact, she says like she nearly finaled a report. I don't seem to remember that. I don't. I
Goofy.
do not recall what I was doing that night. I believe I was in a Pizza Express in Croydon. Yes, that
Don't
was the thing
sweat.
I would say. I don't sweat. So, you know, the fact that she said I was sweating all over would be that's a lie. That's obviously a lie. I could prove that. Hey,
Oh man, fucking that guy is
get
guilty
who's
as
judged.
charged.
Yeah. Hey, tell you what I did the this weekend. I went to the cinema for the first time in
What?
ages. S since cockdown, since
Oh
the
well, since
cockdown,
fucking Breakfast at Tiffany's.
and since Black Cock Down. There was like nothing new on, and you'd be surprised what was actually on. They were running the Twilight series, they were running a Lord of the Rings marathon, they were running and what I went to go see was the Iron Giant remastered. So
Oh,
I
fuck.
went and sat in the IMAX theater with my sister and watched the Iron Giant with two other people in the cinema. And it was like a little kid. It was like a little kid and their grandma.
No.
It was so good.
That's pretty
I
banging. That's a
cried.
good
I actually
film,
cried. I've watched the film before, bearing in mind. Yeah, I did.
man. Really? I love
I
it.
blubbed up. I bubbled up a little bit. I got a little something in my throat when he was like, you go, I go, you stay, you know. And I was like, oh fuck,
Yeah.
Iron Giant, so Vin Diesel, you fucking legend. Yeah, I mean, it was
Want
actually it was voiced by Vin
to go
Diesel.
away there. He's a fucking legend. No, what is Vin Diesel?
He's like, and it's really good. I mean, obviously, it's like a great movie. But I was like, wow. Okay. I was thinking, would I actually sit? Also, would I also sit and watch Lord of the Rings as a marathon? I've already done it this lockdown. But I watched this lockdown in like June or May or something. I watched the Lord of the Rings, the extended version, all the way through. But I did stop, and I had like the evenings. I would stop and I would like do something else, and then like I'd start again. I think I had a day each where I would like watch one a day, and I did it for 3 days. I didn't, so it's really kind of like a loose marathon. But I was thinking, like, if I didn't have that, I couldn't fucking do that. If I had, like, if I was in the cinema and I couldn't pause it and I couldn't, like, go up and, like, stretch and just, like, fucking, like, do something else, I don't think I could do it. It's pretty, hardcore. But I guess that's what separates me from the extra. You know, I'm a casual fan. The extreme fans would be able to do it, I'm sure. What was that?
They just spread the normal ones.
I'd be surprised. I would love to do it. I mean, we've already done, again, we did the Twilight as well. We've also done 50 Shades of Grey. But not as a marathon. We should probably do that, you know. We should probably organize that.
We also did
the Rwandan duo.
We also did Uganda too.
Yes, so actually, that is it. We did Uganda, the African trio, the African atrocity trio. I told my dad about The Last King of Scotland, and he was quite interested in that. I said, like, you should totally watch it. My dad was interested because he likes Forrest Whitaker as well. He says he's a good actor. Did you see him in Rogue One? Are you still there? Hello.
Yeah, how you
and gonna... we're back.
How are you gonna stitch this one together? Are you just gonna do a two-parter?
I'll put a transition in, I think. I'll do something. Yeah. I'll do something. Don't you fucking
But worry. I was hoping you could actually help me, because I need some advice.
What's this?
So basically, I walked in on my son having sex with my brother's wife.
Okay. So it's like his auntie. His and aunt.
In-law, yeah.
But it's never in-law. I mean, you'd never say that, would you? You never say aunt-in-law, would you?
No, I'd never say
married
that.
To your aunt, if he's married to your uncle, she's basically your auntie.
Yeah, I know, but she's not blood related.
Okay. Whatever, man. Anyway.
Anyway, so...
That's what your son told you. So, it's not blood, Dad. It's not blood. It's red cum.
Yo, I love this custard. It's yellow cum.
Just like he's trying to be like a boss, like he's like broke his arm. There's like blood coming out, and the doctor's like, "Oh my god, he's bleeding everywhere!" And he's like, "It's not blood; it's just red cum."
I'm getting off.
Yeah, I'm jizzing. all over.
Anyway, can we talk this seriously?
My father,
dude,
was a jizzer.
Dude, we're always joking around. I'm actually trying to confide in you. All right.
I know. Go on. Funny man.
I walked in on my son having sex with my sister-in-law in a cabin, and I think they have been having sex for a while.
How did you know they were having sex for a while? Were they like really do they look like experienced? Like they knew they were like, this is not their first, you know, like,
this is not their first rodeo, if you know what I mean.
This is not, yeah, oh yeah, well, it pretty much was a fucking rodeo. I mean, she was, whew.
Dude,
he was the bull, mate. She was the, and he had the horns. Dude,
this is my family. This is my family.
Okay. I'm asking you questions to get more details so I can help you.
Yeah, that was the question. You just say like a rodeo, having the horns. That's what you said.
Yeah, I know.
It's not a question.
Yeah. Well,
that's my family.
That's an expansion on the detail. Go on.
Yeah, that's my
on.
Family, dude. If you can show some respect.
Yeah. he should show some respect. Having sex in a cabin with his auntie-in-law, your sister-in-law.
They who wish to fuck you is me.
Fuck the sister-in-law. I'm afraid.
My balls.
Can't take any more. I have one.
Anyway.
Wait, you don't understand.
So, my brother moved in with us in February with his wife and two kids.
Yeah, okay.
My wife and I have a big house and a farm. My wife's a farmer.
Wow.
And with everyone working from home, we thought it would be a good chance to stay together as a family and for my nieces to spend some time on the farm. I got three kids, and all of them live with us. The oldest is 18, and the other two are 16 and 13. On the day my brother arrived, I went to buy some groceries with my son, and he went to the pharmacy to get his gym supplements and bought some food. This is where I saw some condoms in my son's plastic bag when we arrived at the house.
How old is your son?
18. Mm-hmm. It was two packs with 36 condoms in each pack.
Fuck! Damn.
So that's seven.
He's like, it's like a fucking, you know, when you see those like massive machine guns with like the bullets like coming out the side of the gun.
I don't know what gun. He's I don't like, know what gun has fucks. Bullets coming out the side of it instead of fucking.
Well, you know what I mean. Like it's like an LMG, you know, kind of style. You big machine gun.
Okay.
Where like it's like chain loading.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know how to explain. Like it's coming out the side.
The empty shells are coming out the side.
Yeah. It's like that with like condoms. Like you got one on, and then the rest are like attached, ready to load.
Yeah, well, so
on the side,
you've got 72,
and that's how you know. Yeah, that's how you knew you had a feeling it wasn't the first time they'd had sex, because there was like multiple used condoms on the floor around them. You know?
I mean, yeah. I mean,
so you don't need to be a fucking detective to find, you know, to work that
way. Well, the thing is, I just thought he had a girlfriend or something, and he was just kind of like, okay, he wants to be safe, kind of thing. He's gonna fuck a lot, I guess. I mean, I don't think I've fucked anyone more than 70 times.
That's a yeah.
But to be fair, I've only been.
You're in like once you're in that part, you're almost like in like relationship territory, I would say. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I had a long distance relationship, so like, Anyway, so I don't know why I've just fucking said that. everything was pretty good anyway. So my son-in-law.
We still talked about you.
No. Nah, I've talked about my son. Yes. Talking about my son. My son-in-law and my son, yeah, they get up early, go run around the farm. You know, everything seemed pretty normal. Until last month, when they left on like a run, I was up early baking. And I don't mean getting baked. I mean like baking like some fucking bread.
Baking like bread. Yeah,
maybe,
like
maybe
bread.
A bit of like baked bread, if you know what I mean. Like a bit of hash and bread, a little bit. You know, and I never saw them make any rounds around the farm. Like I didn't see them running around the farm or anything. I asked about it, right. And they said they decided to hit the road.
If you know what I mean.
The road.
Hit the old road dusty trail. Hit the road.
I hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back.
I jacked in the road.
and my dick is the pickup truck. Anyway, so...
Yeah. Fed the pigs, if you know what I mean.
But fed the slop to the pigs.
I slopped.
Anyway, so
I slopped. Oh god,
that's a good. That's quite good. That's quite a good little thing. I'm about to slop. I'm about.
Come on, pig! Come on, pig!
I'm about to slop in your trough.
Yes. Yes.
Nah, I'm ashamed.
That's what. Yeah, that's, your son would be ashamed.
No, but anyway. So yeah, I didn't see him go like around. They said they hit the road, and I thought, you know, that's probably normal boys doing shit like that. No.
Yeah, boys will be boys.
So my son-in-law and son seem to have a very good bond. So anyway, yesterday, I was coming from a friend's house early in the morning. The sun wasn't up yet. Yeah, I was drinking. Sorry, the sun wasn't up. It was late night, early morning. And it was a little dark, but I saw the cabin we have in the farm was open and the light was on. I thought maybe like one of the like farmhands had like forgotten to lock up or something like that.
Yeah, damn.
So yeah, so I went to close the door. I switched the light off, and as I got closer, I heard like you know the kind of noises you hear.
I saw the flickering shadows of love on the blinds. Do do do.
She was fucking deleted.
But I saw the dick in her hand, and she sucked no more.
anyway, so I heard like her sex noises and shit. I took a peek inside, and it was my son.
Instantly recognized.
It was my son and son-in-law.
Son, both at son and son-in-law.
Having sex.
Gay sex.
Oh, wait, no, sorry, my sister-in-law.
You said son and son-in-law.
So, I meant my son.
Is that even a... He was like, this your son was having sex with your other son or daughter's husband.
No, sorry, I meant my sister-in-law.
Yeah. Sister-in-law and son. Yeah, got it.
So I didn't confront them because I was like so shocked.
Yeah, you don't want to kind of interrupt. Yeah.
I haven't told anyone what I saw. I don't know what to do. Should I confront them? Should I tell my brother? Should I tell my husband? My wife. I've been doing a lot of thinking. I'm sure they have been having sex for a while because that's some you know pretty good sex they're having. From the condoms, my son was always at the house, never brought any girlfriends back.
Yeah.
The morning runs around the farm. Do they really go on a run or do they have sex? You know.
Right. It's all like
The close relationship kind of thing.
Hmm. I would probably confront. I would say I would say to one of them at least, be like, "Yo, just want you to know, I heard what was going on.
Yeah,
maybe you need to be a little bit more discreet about it all, you know. And I think you probably need to, tell my bro or sister." That their wife is cheating on them, basically.
Yeah, you think, but the thing is, the only thing I'm worried about, we live in a farm, and obviously there's, like, a gun or two around. I'm worried that, you know, he's going to want to fucking kill my son.
Hide the guns.
Yeah.
Just hide the guns.
Yeah.
But hide the knives as well. Hide the forks. Hide anything.
The spoons.
axe.
Do you wanna actually hear the update on this story?
Yeah, go ahead. Right,
so this is something. So, as was suggested by many of the comments, I decided to tell my husband first and proceed from there. My husband lost it. He thought it was a joke. We talked about the issue and we decided we should first talk to our son before telling my brother. We confronted our son with what I saw. He already knew what was going on as he saw my Reddit post and put two and two together. He didn't deny anything.
Damn.
He confessed. He told us him and the sister-in-law have been having sex since February last year, and he was 17 at the time. My son said it started on her birthday party. They got drunk and had sex in the bathroom, and they have been meeting at her house ever since and sneaking off after family gatherings. After my son's confession, my husband just lost it and told my son to leave the house and go to our condo in town as he didn't want to see him in front of him at the moment. When my son was gone, my husband stormed into my brother's room and told my brother everything. So the sister-in-law wasn't in the house, the brother's wife. My brother lost it and packed his stuff, took the kids and left. He asked where my son had gone. He said he wanted to teach him a lesson. We didn't tell him and he eventually left. The sister-in-law didn't return. I think my brother might have called her or my son warned her and she's afraid to come back. I think she's still in the house. In all the screaming and shouting, my daughters heard everything and are devastated that their family might be ruined. They miss their brother and are afraid my husband won't ever let him in the house again. My husband hates all forms of infidelity to the core and has always drilled this into our two eldest children to never cheat. I know I did nothing wrong in this, but how will I ever look my brother in the eye again? He won't answer my calls or texts. My husband said I should give him time to heal. My son has left the condo because he's afraid of what my brother will do to him and is now hiding at a friend's and he won't tell us which friend. No word on the sister-in-law. Oh, and info. Sister-in-law was the one who initiated sex the first time my son and her slept together. She was the one booking hotel rooms, buying my son dinners and lunches. My son was even receiving allowance from her.
His game must be pretty fucking, like, hot.
Either that or she's, like, desperate.
Yeah. Either that or the woman's fucking desperate. Desperate bitch.
What crazy ride.
I wish, you know what I mean? Like, I wish.
What, you wish you had, like, this kind of situation happen to you?
Well, not really, but I mean, the situation of, like, have you ever had that? Have you ever, like, listened to someone else? Yeah, do it. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like, have you ever overheard someone, not in, like, even, like, a weird way, but just, like, in your room in university, you just hear
my former flatmate, his girlfriend had the most atrocious orgasm I've ever heard. It was like a seagull. It was like I don't want to recreate it, but it was it was just really loud and obnoxious, because even if more power to you if you've got a loud, like, orgasm, like, you know, say it proudly, that, you know, the thing is, when you're, like, in a shared flat, like, you know, you, like, you cover your mouth or, like, keep it down or some shit, like,
you just kind of, like,
it's like, exactly. if you're at like your parents' place, your significant other, you're not gonna be like, oh, mom and dad, I'm just gonna bark and, you know, shout,
we're just gonna, like, we're gonna hang out in the room,
everybody knows.
Oh, baby,
baby, I love you. You know, it's everybody knows you're fucking, but you have the courtesy to, like, fucking down, dude. Yeah.
Lessen the blow.
Yeah, the thing is, because Owen's penis was so desensitized because he masturbates so much that he could just, like, go for hours because, like, he just couldn't come.
Yeah, which I think that's kind of, like, rough. On the dude and on the girl as well, you know, because, like, you know, she doesn't want to, like, end up with a a DAP, if you know, not a WAP, not a WAP, but a DAP. If yeah. you get the reference.
Yeah, I mean, I was.
You listen to that song. You listen to WAP.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, man? Good song.
I can't remember it. I honestly can't remember it.
Well, you can't remember WAP.
It's quite forgettable now.
Damn. Okay. No, I like WAP.
Well, what's the chorus going? Like?
I'm in. You're fucking with some wet ass pussy. Yeah, fucking with some wet ass pussy. But like that. Hoes in this hat. Got the hoes in this hat. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I mean, it for me, that's more like less of a catchy song. Like less of a. That's just more like, oh wow, it's sexual. It's like,
yeah.
What's that song that Kanye did with that guy? And it's like, you're such a fucking.
I'm a quit. Yeah, you're such a fucking hoe. I love it. And it's like, yeah.
See, I didn't really like that song. Not because, like, you know, I'm not against modern music or anything like that. But for me, that was just like a, whoa, that's such a.
There's no. Oh, yeah, controversial song. I was trying to explain this at work. I was like, there's no nuance to it.
Yeah.
There's no kind of like. Mystery, there's no exploration, there's no like deeper level to it. It is like, it is what it is, it is what it says.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't mind that because, like, there's pop songs, like, you know, that I love that don't really go like fucking the Beach Boys, you know, like, fun, 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 go daddy, you know, kind of thing. But, like, I don't know, for me, that was just like songs like that, especially at the YouTube video as well. For the shit, like
I tell you, I like the Carly Rae Jepsen album Emotion. I think that's really like that's a charged album.
This is her new one.
A new one.
Yeah, a new album. Okay, not really new. It came out like a year or two ago.
Dedication.
Yeah.
No, I mean I listened to like a couple that didn't really grab me, so I just didn't really follow it through. But yeah, I think it's 5 years since Emotion came out.
Fuck.
Yeah, and they're doing like a five-year thing. If I can get that on vinyl, that'd be great.
5 year thing, fair play. They're really milking the fucking the album, aren't they? Like 5 years.
Yeah, but to be fair, that is the best album she's produced.
I mean, it's an alright album. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's some.
I love it. I think every. It's one of those ones where, like, I think every track is a banger.
Yeah, but I mean,
for me, it is.
Like that's like, but that's like, you know, say if, like Abbey Road was released, and they go like, it's been 6 months since this was released. Yeah, let's do a special.
Oh, you can't say. Come on, you can't say that with Abbey Road.
No, I'm not that. I'm not like equating the music or the status, but I'm just saying like. If it's a good album, I think 5 years is like a weird timestamp. I think you're just trying to really cash in on a check at that point.
I don't know whether they're re-releasing it. I just mean, I think she's going to stream it on a Instagram and they're going to have like a party or what, like a watch party or something.
Oh, that's fine then.
I don't know if they're re-releasing the bloody album. I'm just meaning it was 5 years.
Yeah.
It was a kind of like a hallmark album for me because it was the same as Abbey Road actually, and You Are the Quarry, and Ocean Eyes, not the Billie Eilish but the Owl City album was that for me is like that's 2015-16 for me. Damn, those are good albums. Oh, I bought fucking Songs of Leonard Cohen on vinyl.
I saw that. You put a story up, didn't you?
Yarp. Yeah, I'm happy with that. I haven't got the other two. I've got Songs of Love and Hate, and I haven't got Songs from a Room.
Yeah,
because it wasn't on deal. It wasn't on deal in H&B, and I was. None of the other like smaller record shops are open in Newcastle because of COVID.
Hmm.
Only H&B is, but H&B had like a big sale, so I went and bought like a load.
To be fair, like songs from a Room is pretty easy to find. It's not that difficult. Songs of Love and Hate, I've never actually seen that like a used copy or like, you know, secondhand. It's all you got to buy new.
Oh, also, my sister Lucy went to. She went to the market we went to at Tynemouth Market.
Oh, right.
And she found a old copy of Wish You Were Here, and bought that for me. And I was obviously over the moon. But it comes with the like original postcard that came with the record.
That was lovely.
There's like a postcard, a Wish You Were Here postcard.
That was it look like.
And it's like an old spot. I'll take a picture and send it to you. But it's like someone diving into like a pool.
Oh yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got that shit.
That's cool. You should like.
Yeah.
You should like put that up or something.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing is, I don't want the blue tack. Like, if I put it on my wall, like a blue tack, I don't want the blue tack to like ruin the.
Well, you don't have to. The car. You don't have to put blue tack. I think just use that shit.
I could tack it, couldn't I? Yeah, yeah. It's that's pretty cool.
I just thought about going back to Marvel fans. I just thought about Wade
Webster. Say that again. Sorry, you went out there.
Have you thought about where you'd like to go when you like travel or teaching?
I don't know, man. I wouldn't mind going to Eastern Europe. I wouldn't mind traveling around, like maybe like Lithuania and Estonia would be quite cool to go to.
Wow.
I don't know. It looks really cool. I like that they've got their own kind of like identity. I wouldn't mind hanging about Hungary for a little bit. Obviously, I know people there. I wouldn't mind hanging around Szeged for a little bit more. I don't know. Serbia as well. Serbia could be quite cool.
Do you want to do the Serbia road trip? Do you want to do Bald and Bankrupt?
I do want to do Bald and Bankrupt. I want to do all that shit.
Yeah, well, I know a couple of people in Serbia, so you know if you ever want to go,
I know.
Let me fucking know.
If you want to go, let me fucking know.
What is that actually? How far am I from? Because obviously I'm right now. It's like the middle. Well, I'm like, you know, east, west, I'm like right in the center. So I think I'm about like 7-8 hours away from bus from Serbia or something like that.
Yeah.
But
the farm that my dad's girlfriend's dad has is on the Serbian border, is on the Hungary border to Serbia, and they've got like a massive fence. And I've heard that he was talking to me about some stories about the like Serbian, yeah, like, or refugees that were coming over the fence. Like that fence, the Hungarian border is really heavily policed. And there's been stories of like refugees being caught and being hung from the barbed wire.
Fuck.
Yeah, yeah. And some of them like being found by rangers in the forest, because it is a quite thick forest around that area. And refugees coming over and not being able to find anywhere to sleep or anything, and like freezing in the woods, and like the bodies being found and stuff. Like, yeah. He had his farmhouse broken into, and the metal of like his oven, he has a little stove in there that he uses in winter, and the metal kind of like the oven sheets, I guess, or the oven trays have been stolen and nothing else. And he had like a for context, he's kind of like, he was an intellectual he was a philosophy teacher during the Soviet times in Hungary. And he had imported, he showed me, and imported George Orwell 1984 book that from Yugoslavia. And he said he had to import this because you weren't allowed to print that book in Hungary. And we went back to his main house where I was staying in his office, and he showed me the illegal printed, the Hungarian print of the Orwell book. And that was pretty crazy, to be fair. Like, ballsy of him if he'd been caught, and I think he nearly was. He was like deported.
Well, yeah, man, you know, the Soviets don't fuck around.
Yeah, he was deported. I think he was pretty much deported. He just left and moved to Paris in the 60s. But I guess even by then, I think towards the end of that period, there was less and less of a Soviet presence in Hungary and most of the other states. Anyway, I actually watched a good documentary on that this morning about the fall, like what actually happened in the fall of the Soviet Union and how it all played out, which I didn't really know. I obviously watched Chernobyl, the show, if anyone needs to check that out. And you get a sense of what is going on from one point of view. But you don't get the whole picture from like a European, like the countries themselves and how how each country kind of reacts to Soviet rule. And the lessening after the death of Stalin, the lessening of the rules, and the like the freedom of speech, and obviously the situation in Germany, in East Germany. So yeah, it's quite an interesting topic, to be honest, because I never really learned about that in school. I never really learned about the fall of the Soviet Union.
Well, I guess it only just happened when we were in school.
Well, not really.
It's quite recent.
I learned about 9/11 at school.
Did you?
Yeah, my history GCSE.
We never fucking did that. We're like the closest thing we learned was like the 70s Cold War.
Yeah.
Like we never did. Like,
see, I didn't do that. I never did that. I never even studied that ever. Which is really annoying because my sister did a history GCSE and she did the Cold War, and it seemed really interesting. I would love to have learned a little bit more about it, but hey ho.
Yeah, well, we got the lecturer had in City Uni. He was an old reporter in the 90s, and he actually did a lot of reporting in the fall of the Soviet Union in like the 91, and also during like the Kosovo conflict.
Okay.
And so whenever he gave like a lecture, it was always to do with like how it was always reported in those how journalists reported those kind of conflicts. And it's quite complicated, yeah. The fall of the Soviet Union, like it's because it's not one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, this thing happened and then like it was done.
That
it's like
big thing happened and overnight it all changed. It wasn't like that.
No. It was like there's this famous photo. What's it called? It's like the tank revolution.
The Velvet Revolution.
The Tank Revolution is a company in the Netherlands.
Tank Revolution.
Let me type in coup Moscow.
It's like a dancing game for jacking off. It's called Wank Wank Revolution. Gross.
Gorbachev.
What happened to his head, bro?
Well, the birthmark.
Gorbachev's head. Was that a birthmark?
Yeah. What the fuck do you think it was?
I thought he might have, like, spilt, like, tea or something on his head.
Yeah, no one British told. No one told assumption.
Brett, hey Gorbachev, I dare you to pour that on your head.
Okay. Oh no, this is permanent tea.
My apologies. I don't understand.
Oh man, my Google thought I was talking to her when I said Gorbachev, but that is not. Are they, what, are you Soviet, bro? Are you Google, are you Soviet?
Yeah, I say. Soviet Union. We thought you guys broke up. Yes, but what we wanted you to be.
Google Overdrive.
I'll tell you, that picture I just sent you, that's like a really famous picture from Boris Yeltsin. Basically, he rode a tank in front of the fucking, I think it's like a government building. I don't know if it's the main one now. And he basically just said, like, yo, when Gorbachev was out of town, he was out of Moscow. And basically Boris was like, yo, he rode a tank down the fucking street in Moscow. And he just said, like, right, the Soviet Union shit, we're going to have fucking elections. But it's a weird story. I know this is Russian kid in our class, and like, it was very Russian.
Yeah.
He was a very hard man who he would laugh every so occasion, but he would mainly talk to this, and he would not cut this man.
But if we could, I'd like to go back to, if you could talk about what you've been listening to recently as well, because I only said you've listened to the Beach Boys, but what else have you been listening to? Anything much?
No, what I've been doing is like I've been on my discovery, you know, shit like that. I don't know if you like. I got this random 40 playlist where I just fucking like shuffle my grab a spoon, and then the first 40 songs in that shuffle, like I just put into a playlist. Yeah. And that because that's quite a nice little thing, because then I can like, because I don't know most of the shit, I think I'm not that fucking grab a spoon. But to be honest with you, I'm a bit musically lost. So I haven't been really into anybody for a long time now. I'm just kind of like listening to certain songs and they're like, okay, that's good. And then I'll go back to like, I think I'm getting to that age where I'm slowly, my taste in music is slowly getting more like concrete. And then I'm just going to be like one of those guys who has his favorites, you know, and then like likes music but like has his favorites, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. What what's this Taylor Swift Folklore, the escapism chapter? What the fuck is this? The escapism chapter.
I think it's it looks like it's exactly the same. Like it's just
like deep cuts.
No, because you've got Cardigan on there, so that's a pretty popular one. But
I do like that song. That's a good song.
I can't remember how it goes. I can't remember how it goes.
When you are young, they assume you know nothing.
Okay, there we go.
Because I love you. And I...
It's a pretty nice album. Pretty nice album.
Yeah, it's cool. It's good. It's got a good vibe. I like I think Exile with Bon Iver is probably.
Yeah, but you're quite a big Bon Iver bitch, though, aren't you?
Oh, I'm a bit. Yeah, I'm a Bon Iver. That's what they call us. The Bon Iver bitches. That's what they say.
Other than that, like, because I'm just looking through my gravestone now, and it's basically just like a random assortment of shit.
You made me feel like I was an old cardigan. Want to put me on again?
I did listen to Red though the other day again.
Oh mate, well that's good.
I'll tell you what is a fucking banging tune. What's that song? It's like it's about a breakup, and he keeps.
What? Stay.
No. Let me fucking. He keeps the scarf, because it reminds him of her of him or whatever the fuck.
I'm gonna have to go on the fucking album though, but yeah. I think I do know what you mean.
All Too Well.
All Too Well. Yeah, I don't know that one as well as some of the other ones. I like Red. I like I Knew You Trouble When You Walked In. Yeah, bitch. I like 22, of course. I Almost Do is one of my favorite ones on there. Stay, 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 classic. Sad, Beautiful, Tragic. I do like that one as well. Starlight is good. Everything Has Changed. You don't look at me. You got a girl at home, and everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Yeah.
I tell you who I've been listening to a lot though recently. Actually, I've been listening to a lot of Paul Simon's Essential Collection.
Right.
Right.
The Essential.
Yeah. It's basically a compilation of his greatest fucking hits, but Paul Simon is fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm looking at Grab a Spoon right now.
Oh, I haven't added it because I think I've already added most of the shit, but
yeah.
Also I re-listened to a bit of Queen as well.
Yeah, I saw that. You got your Queen. You got your Queenies. You finally did listen to Women in Music Part 3.
I did, yes. I've listened to it once, and it was okay, yeah.
It's okay. I always associate that with Walking the Bloody Pembrokeshire Path, because I listened to that on the entire way.
On the way to Amroth.
It did it, yeah, to Amroth. I like Beba Doobie Care. Like, don't even...
I don't even remember.
Yeah. That's quite terrible. All the I want strawberries on a summer evening.
I do love that. Just below Baby Care. So this is when I was in fucking Serbia, Belgrade, and they were playing her name is Senina.
Apparently
she's quite like a big pop Serbian idol.
Fucking hell. She looks very Serbian. Damn.
So look, I'm just going on the about, like, so let's see more pictures of it.
Damn.
Cue a couple of songs, you know.
Yeah, I'll
it's like over 500,000 listens that one.
I'll put on that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the playlist. Balkan Hits 2020.
Balkan Hits.
Well, she's actually most listened to in Vienna, actually.
Serbian music. Balkan Trap. Mate, you're in a Balkan Trap.
It's a Balkan Trap.
It's a Balkan Trap.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you like Anna of the North you put on. I quite like Anna of the North. I prefer her like previous album to Dream Girl, bro. Lovers. Anna of the North.
Who's that? Oh right, okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think I just listened to fucking indie girls fucking playlist.
Yeah. If you listen, Money by Anna of the North on the Lovers album is great. Oh my god.
Flubber! Take her out.
I love that. Whenever she said, take me out. You're mad. I always think whenever she says that and listen to that song, it always reminds me of fucking like Legolas. No, Aragorn, when he's like saying to Legolas, like the Uruk was like running with the fucking flame. And like he's shooting, he's not. He's like, take him out. That's what it always reminds me of. Yeah. Unabashedly.
You've fucking heard this guy. What the fuck's his name? Hang on. You ever see that show, Sex Education? I was gonna say, you watching anything?
I'm rewatching The Office, but that's all I'm watching. I also watched The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. Yeah, it's a good movie. I like it.
You ever heard of a guy, Ezra Furman?
No.
So basically, he's kind of like quite an androgynous kind of guy. I think you might like him. But he's basically a big fucking rapist.
You like him. yes. He's an asshole. You'll like him.
Such a small dick. You love him.
Yeah, you love him.
You might. You like it. You like me. You really like me. Tonight.
Oh, fuck it off.
Yeah.
Sharon Van Etten, you a fan of her?
Pardon?
Sharon Van Etten.
Yes, name rings a bell. Name rings a bell.
Should do more than ring your bell, boy.
Bell, boy. <Yeah.
laughs> I should ring your bell, boy.
Gotta get running now. Bell, boy.
I fucking love that song. I don't care what anyone says to me.
I don't think anyone's going to dispute you. No one's going to say anything, dude.
I don't care what anyone says.
What a controversial opinion, guys, but I like The Who, okay?
I'm going to say it. Say it. I don't care you broke your elbow. Yeah, totally. You should. You not been following me on my Letterboxd? You not been seeing watching?
I haven't been on fucking Letterboxd, and I fucking donkey's ass age.
You should also, I'll tell you another song you should listen to is Twat Live by John Cooper Clarke.
Jacob Hammersmith.
He's a punk poet.
Let's have a look. Where the fuck are you, David? Oh, Burn After Reading. Was that any good? Because I like watched the first 10-15 minutes and I got bored.
Of what?
Burn After Reading.
Yes, it's very good. Fucking love it.
Oh, okay.
It Coen Brothers, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of everything they're doing, so.
No, it was a little bit kind of like, in the end, it's pointless kind of style, which I don't really like, but yeah, it's quite funny. I mean, the cast is fucking crazy. You got Tilda Swinton, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, John Malkovich, John Simmons, the fucking guy from Whiplash, like the teacher from Whiplash.
Let's have a look when you're watching Burn After Reading, The Influence.
Yeah, that was awful.
What's it about?
It's like a horror movie. It's like a Spanish horror movie. I'm not even going to like, boy, it's terrible. It's fucking shit.
Right, okay.
It's like, the mother of the family is like in a coma and is a witch, and like she slowly possesses like the daughter, and they have to like kill the daughter. But it's not very good.
John Wick 3.
I watched that with my dad and my bro.
Of course, yeah. Blade Runner 2049.
I watched that with my dad. Yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Why, if you love him so much, why don't you fucking marry him?
He's already been married a couple of times, man.
Also, he's your dad, you sick fuck.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that also.
Don't fuck with cats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched that ages ago.
Yeah, I kind of don't know how to get onto like what you've been fucking watching recently, so.
Yeah, no, what?
Been,
yeah,
that's really been adding it, man. 674, because I think you're like 500 and something.
You should listen to Twat Live, John Cooper Clarke.
No, you're right.
Add that to your
watch list.
To your grab a spoon.
I tried to watch fucking Elton John, the other film they did on him.
Oh, what, Rocket Man?
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan.
No, I mean, the annoyingly, it came out at the same time as like Bohemian Rhapsody.
It came out just after.
Yeah, just after, well, you know. more or less. Bohemian Rhapsody was very popular, so.
Yeah, but I didn't think that was a great film either.
I thought it was okay. I liked it.
I did watch, I went to the cinema, because nothing's really coming out. They've got a lot of cinemas in Vienna. So they're playing a lot of old movies. So I watched this old film from the late 40s. It's called The Third Man.
Okay.
And it's got Orson Welles.
The Third Man.
Yeah, it's got...
Oh, wow, really? Wow, he's cool.
And
I love Orson Welles. He's fucking cool.
It's basically set in the background of post-war Vienna, and like, you know, the cities are like a lot of bomb damage, and like black market is thriving, and it's basically like a noir detective film.
Yeah. Oh, the screenplay is by Graham Greene.
Who's it?
The guy who did Brighton Rock.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of it. It's quite a famous film, I think. But the only really good bit in it, like randomly, my favorite bit in it is like there's this bit where like it's not a spoiler because it's in the trailer. You see it in the trailer, but like if you want to hear this, like not that anyone's listening, but like you know, cool view is there's a bit where Orson Welles' character is like supposed to be dead, but he reveals himself as being alive, and it's quite a good reveal. Like there's like light shining on his shoes, and you can see his silhouette, but you can't see his face. And someone turns on a light, and it's just Orson Welles' face is just like he's got like the whole like raised eyebrow game, and he just has like a like, smile that just says like, "Whoa," you know, I don't know. It's like a very expressive face.
Yeah, he's a great guy. If you listen to like some interviews with him, with Orson Welles, he's a
smart guy. Smart guy.
Incredibly eloquent as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's to be fair. It's what is it rated on here? I don't even know what the average rating is. It's like 4.2. All right, so I know it's not an amazing film, but like script is a bit weird, like the plot holes, I think, but. Yeah, no, because I really got into Peter Sellers. You know Peter Sellers?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Because I rewatched, he did a film called Beckett.
Yeah.
And it's about, he plays Henry II. It's all about the murder of, like, Thomas Beckett and shit like that. And, yeah, but and also he was also A Lion in Winter, and that is a fucking amazing film.
Okay.
Add this to your watch list, bitch. And
I might.
Nah, do it. Nah. There is no might. There's only do.
All right, Yoda.
Mate, Yoda.
Simmer down.
Simmer down.
All right, chill out, Biggin. Simmer down, Biggin.
Yeah, man. But,
what's it called?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Oh, A Lion in Winter.
A Lion in the House. No, in Winter. No, I can't find it.
Tell me what the fuck.
A line or a lion?
Lion.
Okay, that's weird.
Right,
can't find
lion
it.
Lion in Winter. Oh, yeah, fuck, I can't find it. What the fuck's going on? You talk for a bit. Hang on, isn't it max, like, 2 hours or something we can do?
Well, not now. We've got another hour technically, but I can't do another hour because I'm tired. So I'll probably do another 10 minutes.
Yeah,
fair. And then I'll call it.
It's not Peter Sellers.
Lawrence Peter fucking Sellers.
Lawrence of Arabia. Who the fuck was that?
Peter O'Toole. Peter O'Toole.
Yeah. It's basically like a... It's got Anthony Hopkins in it, Catherine Hepburn, Timothy Dalton.
Oh!
Young Timothy Dalton.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for some reason, I haven't
Peter O'Toole movies.
Oh, The Lion in Winter.
He did Supergirl.
Yeah, he did a lot of in his later years.
Oh, my God. Man of La Mancha.
It's called The Lion in Winter, by the way.
The Lion?
The Lion in Winter. The Lion.
The Lion in Winter, yeah. Yeah, got it. Found it. The Lion in Winter... I'll check it out.
Fucking bell.
I'll check it out. Is there Orson Welles in that one as well?
No.
Anthony Hopkins. Woo.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, I didn't hear you. I heard Catherine Hepburn, and I was like, okay.
Like zoned out.
I was like, yeah, I'm in.
Well, you're probably talking about
this. Is that any relation to what the other you know, fucking Hepburn?
What, Audrey?
Audrey.
No, no relation. I don't think that they're real men.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
I was talking about our session of Breakfast at Tiffany's in the theatre with my grandparents yesterday. I was explaining how weird it was to go on Valentine's, and I think they pretty much assumed we were a gay couple going and getting Prosecco.
To be fair, I mean, I think I explained this to somebody the other day as well, and it wasn't quite funny. So,
I think, you know, we went as friends, but we left with as more than friends, I would say.
What the fuck?
As best friends. Whoa. You know.
I just love the idea of getting stoned in the cinema.
Yeah. In like the dark, and then like, you know, the full kind of sensory, you know, there's, you know, we're being high, I mean, there's a sensory kind of element. Well,
it's a good thing we went to the back, because I think I would have got paranoid and anxious if we had stayed at the front.
Yeah, true. I don't think I have the guts of steel to do that. Although maybe in future I might.
Well, also, it's right at the front, it's like a shit like spot anyway.
Well, yeah, it is, yeah, true.
This has been kind of an episode where we've kind of just been like, this has just been more of a chat than a fucking...
The focus thing.
Maybe next time we'll have like a focus.
Yeah, this can be just a dump of info.
Yeah, this can be so the people can catch up, like
on what's going on. Yeah,
like I guess we haven't even, because when was the last recorded during, was the last one during COVID?
I will tell you.
Fucking tell
me. What? Jeez. David and Dan talk 8 episodes. Loading. Let me load this in. Last episode was June the 6th.
Oh, yeah. So it was like... I can't remember doing that one, actually.
It was before... excuse me. It was like before I came to see you. I don't even know when I came to see you, to be fair.
You came to see me at the end of June, beginning of July.
Excuse me. Yeah. So it's Saturday, the 6th of June, where we did that. And then the one before that was November 19, 2019.
Wow, I was still in London then.
Yeah.
We only did two while I was in London. Jesus.
Yeah, we did Gimme's. Did we do Gimme Story? July?
That was... Yeah.
July 2019. And we did Roadie for Dodie. June 2019. I was a big fan of Roadie for Dodie. That's a good episode.
I don't listen back to any of these.
I know, but I remember what happened from the title. I remember each.
Yeah. We'll give this a bit. I mean, I guess there's going to be more stuff for a title for this one, but I think We're Back Baby is pretty basic. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, you know.
Let me finish blasting you on our podcast about our fucking podcast.
What do you want? Well, I don't know what title you want for this one. Like, you.
No. I like the names for every other one.
Okay.
But, like, do better. You know what?
Yeah, okay. If I fuck up on this one.
Professionally.
Yeah.
You're a fucking amateur. Get your fucking head out your ass.
Your words hurt. Your words hurt my skin.
Yeah. All right, is there any final words you want to say before we...
Final thoughts.
Before we close the cock.
Well, I think, you know, I'm hoping everyone's okay out there.
Yeah, we probably lost a few viewers, to be honest. During this, something about COVID, we've lost our revenues gone down because...
Yeah, no, because we could have.
One of our five viewers has fucking died.
One of you has betrayed us. Yeah, I know. I don't have anything I would like to say to anyone. Dream big, live your life, and live, laugh, love, if I could say.
Live, laugh, chub, mate.
Come on. Live, laugh, chub, yeah. Still blazing after all these years. Still chubbing.
Stay safe, guys, and I hope whatever plans that didn't work out because of COVID, because everybody's got them, I hope you make some new shit happen, and I hope you I hope you're fucking doing you, boy.
Yeah, exactly. That's good.
Yeah,
I like that.
Aye.
Well, Afida Zane, and
I just say goodbye and Jordy.
Ta-ra.
Ta-ra.
Yeah,
ta-ra. To me, too. Yeah, all right.
For me.
Fuck. All right,
man.
Yeah, I'll talk to you
in
any time, bro.
Okay, ciao.
Yeah, and this is goodbye to...
goodbye from me. Goodbye from you.
From David and Dan. Talk no more.